Summer is definitely the sexiest season. I mean, think about it. The days are longer, the nights are hotter, and your sex life is too. And if you're looking to turn up the heat, how about a little help from our friends at Promescent? Summer is all about things hot and steamy, so I highly recommend you add something extra and tap into Promescent's lineup of pleasure-enhancing products. I've been singing their praises for years, since they started, and for good reason. Because first up, we have the legendary Delay Spray. This is the MVP of lasting longer and keeping those eager penile nerves in check. You just do a quick spray, and you're set to outlast even the longest days of summer, ensuring the party doesn't end before you want it to. So you can have the mind-blowing climax you're now so very well equipped to reach, thanks to Promescent. It just helps you last longer without all the worry. And for women, Promescent's warming arousal gel is a fun pre-sex ritual. You just rub it into your vulva a few minutes before and you'll feel it start to tingle, warming up every nerve ending. So you'll feel that much more pleasure everywhere before you even get going. So it's kind of like the sure thing. So make sure this summer is the sexiest one yet. Check out promescent.com/Emily and get 15% off at checkout. You get free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, discreet shipping, all the things. Promescent is your ticket to a more guaranteed good time. That's promescent.com/Emily. promescent.com/Emily for your exclusive discount. Check it out. Attention, pleasure seekers. What if I told you there was a toy that was so iconic that it practically set the standard for all my favorite products? Allow me to introduce or reintroduce to you the Magic Wand. Dubbed the Cadillac of Vibrators, the Magic Wand is more than just a toy. It's a culture icon, a symbol of power and unapologetic pleasure. Do you know any other toys that have been praised in Time magazine? Didn't think so. With a unique rumble that resonates deep within, the Magic Wand Original is not just a product, it's a trusted confidant. And it's a sure thing. Never had an orgasm? Try a Magic Wand. Never given your party a full body massage? Try the Magic Wand. Listen, it's rightfully earned accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades, and I've been obsessed with my Magic Wand. I even drilled holes in my bedside table so that she's always next to me in case I need her. Well, that was years ago, because now there are multiple iterations of the Magic Wand, allowing you to pick whatever model fits your lifestyle. You can go wireless with the Magic Wand Rechargeable, tiny with the Magic Wand Mini or Micro. Micro is really mini. Or go for variety with the Magic Wand Plush. The best part though, all of them have the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original so popular. So if you're ready to make some magic, visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to cast a spell on the world. Magic Wand, not just a vibrator, an icon of pleasure. Hey everyone, thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. On today's show, I am taking your calls, which I love. Topics include how to turn your boyfriend on to oral sex, understanding a partner's low libido, tips for keeping your married sex life hot, even though you have kids in the house, plus how to communicate your bedroom needs to a reluctant partner. All this and more. Thanks for listening.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes. Call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's gotta have her standards. Oh, my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com and subscribe to everything there. It's so easy. You just click on the subscribe button. You get the podcast. You know, we do two shows a week. Follow us on all social media, which I love that too. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat. It's all at Sex with Emily. And go shopping at our store. And God, you know, I'm available for you 24/7, just giving you sex information and relationship information all day long. So follow me. I love that. So thank you everyone for listening to the show. Happy spring. It is spring. It is. It might still be snowing where some of you are. I know that happens, but it literally is spring. And with the spring, we have to do some spring cleaning. And we want to help you tidy up your sex and dating life with a giveaway. Because it's important, you guys. And the spring cleaning is like a real thing, like getting rid of your clothes. And like, if I remember, like when I lived in Michigan, it's like you'd put your summer clothes downstairs and your winter clothes upstairs or whatever you do. Or you, if it was spring, we'd move our winter clothes downstairs and our summer clothes upstairs and you change and you get rid of stuff. And it's really refreshing and it feels really good. Well, I want to know what bad sex, dating, and relationship habits are you ready to throw out in 2017? What do you want to clean out of your life? What is holding you back in the sex department, in the relationship department, what have it? Are you dating the same kind of people and it's just getting you nowhere? Are you actually not dating at all and you're ready to like start dating? Are you in a relationship that's going nowhere? Have you been faking orgasms? Have you been wanting something from your partner and you haven't been able to ask? I want to hear from you. Email me feedback@sexwithemily.com by March 27th and you can win something exciting and new for your toy collection. You can win a magic wand rechargeable. So we'd love to hear from you. Feedback@sexwithemily.com and send us your stories. And I'm telling you, there's power in the written word. Like just like writing that down and thinking like, what do I want to change this year? And I bet you if you write that down in your email, it's going to change. It will happen. Please do that. I'd love to hear from you. And while we're on the topic of spring cleaning and decluttering, it is a time for rebirth and renewal in every area of our life. And I've been thinking about this a lot lately because, you know, I just moved. And so I had to like get rid of everything. I mean, I wanted to get rid of everything. I had to like touch everything that I own and decide, do I want this mismatched pair of socks to come with me into my new home or don't I? Or do I want this broken spatula to come into my house or not? And so there's this book came out a few years ago, the Japanese decluttering book. What's her name? Marie Kondo? The life-changing magic of tidying up. Okay. I don't know if you, this book has been like on the bestseller list and I read it because I'm like, I've got a lot of stuff and I'm going to get rid of it. And truly it's so basic. Like it's the most, her thing is like, you need to hold everything you own. Like literally you can't just kind of look at it, but touch everything and think, does this bring me joy? And you hold on to it, you're like, oh, this bring me joy. And if it does, then you keep it. And if it doesn't, you get rid of it. And it's interesting. You're like, how could this like t-shirt, you know? And then she gives you these things like, but does it give you joy? Like, are you holding on to it because it's like sentimental? Are you holding on to it because like, you know, your mom gave it to you or your grandma who died gave it to you or you an ex-boyfriend? Is it like, it was expensive and one day you'll fix it? It's just really interesting to do this. So it got me thinking about like, we could do this with all areas of our life, like clean out the clutter. So with your relationships as well, how are you holding your back or what are you holding on to that's not allowing you to move forward with your sex and dating life and relationship? Do you keep stalking your ex on Instagram or Facebook? Those little things, like in that time that you're doing that, you could be looking for somebody new. You could be, I don't know, learning Spanish. I always think that in all the time I wasted in life, I could like already speak Spanish by now. I mean, what are the things like, you know, are you keep like, there's a guy that makes you feel bad about yourself, but you keep having the booty call with him or like a friends with benefits situation that's going nowhere. Get rid of these things now. It just feels really good. So think about these habits and these roadblocks and think, is this really making me happy? Most of the suffering that we do and the things that hold us back are actually like of our own making. They're like our own constructs that we put these roadblocks you put in our way are these habits that we have that are preventing us from living the life we want to live. So think about that. Think about these repeating patterns, the kind of people you're dating, and see if you can let go. I haven't said this in a while, but I think it's a really good dating advice for my mom. And she says, the issues that you have in the third date, you'll have forever. Maybe it's the sixth date. I mean, she said third date. But the truth is, people show you who they are pretty quickly. And we make excuses or we don't want to believe it. But I think that when someone shows you who they are, you should be paying attention. People don't really change unless they want to. So if you're in a relationship right now and you're like, this hasn't changed, I knew this, and maybe it's time to end it. So happy spring. People, was that weird? Happy spring dumping. What? Like, it is the dumping season. Everyone's laughing at me here because, like, they used to say spring is like the dumping season because, like, you should, like, get out of unhealthy relationships. So, happy spring dumping. Happy spring cleaning. So, here's another thing. Sex in the news. People who have sex are happier thanks to the increase in affection. I love this study because, according to a new study published in the Personality and Social Psychology Bulletin, people actually feel happier, not because they have more sex, but because the increase in affection that sex provides, which might seem kind of obvious to some people, but to me, it's like, I don't think we talk enough about the importance of affection in a relationship and like affectionate touch. How the study goes on to explain it is a very unsexy way to describe hugging, kissing, cuddling, and all those other things that we tend to do with our partners that are physical, but not like physical. You know, they're just like, it's not like the sex act. It's more like just touching. And it does affect our overall states of well-being. The study found that all hugging and kissing was the actual bridge between sex and happiness, not just the groaning and the thrusting and the orgasms, believe it or not. although orgasms are really friggin' important, okay? So while engaging in sex, people are not only like they're seeking an intimate connection, but they want that experience of cuddling and touching and all that stuff. And it stays with them, like those feel-good hormones for the next few hours. That's also why sex is important, because we need that. And I think in some couples, they think, well, if we start to touch, it means that we have to have sex. So if there's one of you in the relationship who's like, I don't even want to start the handholding because that means it's going to lead to sex. Or if I kiss my partner, they're going to want sex and I don't want to have sex yet. Or maybe you just feel like you're not really an affectionate, touchy-feely person, but I'm telling you, I'd like to challenge you on that notion and think about maybe if there's some intimacy things or some issues that's holding you back from really like grasping your partner, to grasping this notion into having more affection in your life. And if you feel like your partner's advances just to kiss you makes you don't want sex and that's why you push him away, this is like a common dynamic here, then you should talk about that. Because I think a lot of us can benefit from just taking the sex off the table and just bringing back affection. And if you feel like this is the case, like it always leads to sex, you could say to your partner, like, we're not going to have sex for, you know, let's not have sex for a month and let's just focus on each other's bodies again and getting to explore each other, getting to, you're just cuddling again, because that's where things started in the first place. So sometimes you need to go back to that. And the reason why I also love this story, because it reminded me of a story that's a study that was done. I don't know if you guys have heard the story about these bunnies that were in a lab at a university, and they were doing a study on heart disease, and they had all these bunny rabbits in these cages. And they realized that like after 2 weeks, a certain group of bunnies, half the bunnies did not have this increase in heart disease and the other half did. And they couldn't figure out what the difference was because they were all getting fed the same food and the same like things were happening to them. But so then they redid the study and they found out the same things happened, that half the bunnies were having the bad side effects and half of them were having good side effects. So what they found out, which is fascinating, is that the only reason why the study kept repeating themselves, they found out that there was an assistant that would come in at night and she would change the bedding and she would feed the rabbits. But the bunnies that were closest to her, she would cuddle the bunnies and she would hold the bunnies. But she was short. And the bunnies on the top shelf, she wasn't able to hold them and cuddle them. And so these bunnies never got picked up. But they all had the food, the same food and the same bedding. I always think about this study because I'm like, we're all like little rabbits. Like, we need to be cuddled. And they realized that the only variable that was different was express love through touching. And so I just want to tell you all that like touching is important, and it's important in life and for your relationships and for these little bunnies. I'm so glad they figured it out. So keep touching, keep kissing, keep cuddling. And now we're going to give a shout out to our sponsors. So thank you for supporting them. I'll be right back. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. Okay, now we're on to your calls. If you have a question you want me to answer on the show, I love that. I love hearing from you. It's really easy. You just go to sexwithemily.com. You click on the Ask Emily tab. You submit your question. And now there's also an option to say that you want to be called. And then you can do that. And then we'll chat. And then we'll get to the bottom of all your questions. I love it. You can also just email me the questions as well. Anyway you want to talk to me. I love it. Okay, we have Jessica. She's 27 from New York, and she's on a mission to experience the Big O, but can't get her boyfriend to warm up to cunnilingus. Jessica, hi.
Hey, Emily.
Hey, Jessica, what's up?
Okay. Yeah, that's basically it. Like, my boyfriend won't go down on me, and it's very frustrating.
He just won't? Like, he never has? Just says he doesn't like it? Like, so, back up. What's the story?
In the beginning, when we first started dating, he did it a few times, and I think he did it to try to impress me. But once we got more serious, he just stopped doing it.
How long have you guys been together?
About 10 months.
Okay. Oh, it's 10 months. So it's still kind of new-ish. So you've been together 10 months.
Yeah.
And he won't go down on you. And you haven't, have you had an orgasm before in your life?
Well, that was part of my second question. So I'm not really sure. Like, I grew up very similar to you where, like, I didn't even know what masturbation was till, like, probably college. And then I was like, it was just very frowned upon, and like touching myself growing up, my family and my religion. So, you know, once I started getting more, but I did lose my virginity at a pretty young age. So.
Okay, that's, so you've never had an orgasm? Because if you don't know that you have, you probably haven't.
Well, I'm able to enjoy sex, and like there comes a point where I reach a climax and it feels really good, but I don't know, then it's gone. And like, I have masturbated and I've used toys. So
Okay. So you have,
just like,
so it's more about bridging the gap. So really, so you have had orgasms, but you don't. Okay. So is it about your boyfriend? Because there's a lot of things going on here, because I think it is important still to masturbate if you're in a relationship or not. And the more that you masturbate and the more that you spend time with yourself and figuring out your body and what makes you feel good, then you'll be able to like have that, bring that into intercourse with your partner, and you will be able to have more orgasms more frequently because you'll know how you need to touch yourself and how you need to move. And it's a practice. I didn't even know about masturbation or orgasm and sex. I always said the same thing as you. I was like, yeah, sex is good. Like, it's fun. I like the intimacy. I like the connection with my partner, but it's not that great, you know? And my friends were like, what about orgasm? I was like, oh, okay. I didn't even know. So I think there's like, you know, there's like a few things going on here. And so you probably, yes, you need more from your boyfriend as well. Okay. So have you talked to your boyfriend about this? About the.
Yeah, I told him because I give him head all the time and I enjoy it and it turns me on. And I kind of wish that going down on me would turn him on too. But he said he's just something that he's not really into. So I don't want to pressure it because I feel like, you know, listening to you has taught me I don't want to pressure my partner into doing anything that he doesn't like, but at the same time I feel like I have needs.
Yes, absolutely. And you've cunnilingus needs, and we all have those needs. Yeah. So many women have those needs. And here's the thing, sweetie, 10 months, I get it. Like, there's a lot of guys, many guys, they're not into the vagina. Like, they're into the vagina. They want to have sex with the vagina. They want to put their penis in it, but they don't want to get in there and get into it. And for whatever reason, he doesn't know how, doesn't know what he's doing. It makes him uncomfortable. Yeah. But I don't think you're going to be able to, like, talk him into it because you've already tried. How old is he? Is he your age, 27?
He's a year younger than me.
Okay. I get it. And like, and there have actually been studies that just came out that said that the number one determining factor for women having orgasm, there was like three things. And one of them was like oral sex, kissing, and also manual stimulation. So like, oral sex isn't just like, oh, that'd be kind of nice if you could have it. No, you like require it. You want it. And you're right. You probably would be having more orgasms. Mm-hmm. You can either just say to them, like, I actually require it. It makes you feel good. I give you blowjobs all the time. And I actually enjoy it. The fact that you don't want to is like, could be a deal breaker for me. I mean, are you in love with him?
Yeah.
Is he your future husband? What's going on? I mean, I don't want to, because this to me would be a deal breaker.
No, I don't know. I mean, we haven't said I love you yet, but this is definitely like, I'm feeling like it's like, it is a deal breaker.
It's a deal breaker.
I'm feeling like,
I dated someone for 2 years, and I mean, there were other issues, but I literally like, he wasn't his thing. And I we had to have a conversation. I was finally like, listen, dude, what is up? He's like, it's just, you know. Because I even gave him an out. I was like, listen, is it that you don't know what you're doing? Is it like you want more feedback? Is it that you think that I don't want it? Because I've told you I want it. Or is that it's just not your thing? He's like, yeah, just not my thing. And he was like in his 40s. So I'm just saying, you don't want to wait around for him to all of a sudden realize that he's going to be into it. He might never be into it. And to me, it's also like, Like, why don't you want to? Like, it's a part of intimacy. It's a part of connection. You're missing that from him.
Yeah, totally.
So that's how I felt too. And I was like, well, you're not my thing. And I broke up with him. So you're only 10 months in. I think that's totally okay. You could like let him know. I mean, I'm not saying you go dump him right now, but you could say, listen, I think sexually, like, this is really important to me. And if you're not willing to do it, I mean, there's probably other things, right? Let's be honest. Is there other problems?
Yeah.
Is he selfish?
Well, that's the problem. Like, he's a great guy in every other aspect. And just in the bedroom, I feel like, but the sex is good. It's just like, I like that foreplay that you always talk about. Like, I feel like I need more of that.
Of course you do.
It's difficult to, like, you say it once and it's like, why do I don't want to, like, keep bothering you. Like, this is what I want, but
it is a requirement, not just a suggestion. You actually need it to warm up. So if your sex is like, he's like, hey Jess, let's get it on, you get home from work, I'm calling you Jess. No, but you come home from work, he's like, come
here. That's fine.
Okay, cool. And then he's like, oh, you look so hot. And then you start, like, you know, he rips your clothes off and his penis is inside you, and like the, you haven't even dropped down your bags from work, like, of course you're not enjoying the sex. We all need four, but especially women, like, you require that. You want to make out, you want him to slowly undress you, you want to, like, you want him to use his fingers to touch your breasts, all that stuff. And all that goes out the window in so many relationships. I bet you the first few times you were together, you said he went down on you and you guys made out. But this is why you're not having sex, because you're not having intimacy, connection, affection, all that stuff. I mean, and I know you don't want to keep saying it, but if you still really want to give it a try, you could explain to him the importance of foreplay. You could kind of let him know what would turn you on. Like, I would love just to make out tonight, or I'd love if you gave me a massage. I mean, you could try some of these things, but if he's just really not down with cunnilingus, we kind of have our answer here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, but if you still love him and you're like, yeah, maybe I could live without it, you could explain to him. Because again, just telling him once that you need more foreplay, he doesn't understand what you mean. Like, he's like, yeah, that sounds like a great idea, I'll get right on. Then he forgets, or he doesn't know. You know what I mean? Like, you might need to give him more examples if you're like not totally ready yet. You could be like, this is a scenario that would turn me on. So, I mean, sometimes you do have to repeat yourselves, but you also have to like give examples.
Yeah.
So it's up to you. I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I love cunnilingus. Mm-hmm. Sounds like you do too.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
yeah, so I definitely need to do that and try to just be honest and communicate and be forward and be ready for him to, I don't know, I guess be ready to have the conversation.
Yeah, you've got nothing to lose here. You literally have nothing to lose. And I'm not saying you should be like, you won't go down on me, so it's over. But you could be like, let's talk about the state of our sex life. Like, I'm so attracted to you. You're an amazing guy, amazing boyfriend. But I feel for like sex, this is actually, you guys could listen to this, maybe not this one, I don't know, but you could just say, like, I listen to this podcast. And foreplay is actually, like, scientifically proven, like, women actually require it. Like, I'm not turned, it's weird, like, I've learned that, like, I actually don't get turned on when you are. We get turned on at different rates, arousal's really different, and this is what I might need. This is what I need. And then you fill in the blank. Like, when I come home, I want you to, like, for women too, it could be words. You want them to tell you that you're hot, or you want them to, I don't know what. And then you could bring up the oral sex thing again and just see what happens. But have the real talk, because you'll have had it and you'll know that you tried, and see where it goes. Okay? Good luck, Jessica.
Thank you.
Bye. Have a good night. I never want to be the one who's like, dump him, right? Like, I don't. And I don't, because I'm not there. I mean, he sounds like a great boyfriend, you know, in a lot of ways. But the sex thing, you guys, if you're not connecting sexually, it's not going to bode well for the relationship. It's really not going to go the distance. It's just not. But I also get, like, I'm not going to say dump him without trying. So you could try again to have the conversation, but put some text or put some words around it, give examples. You know, you don't want to just state, like, I need more foreplay. So, you know, let's see how this shakes out. I would love to hear back from her. Okay, our next call, we have Sean, 32, from California, and he's looking for advice regarding his wife's low libido. Hey, Sean.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks for calling in. So tell me what's going on.
All right. Well, basically, like, since September, my wife and I have kind of been, went through kind of a rough patch and weren't having much sex. And,
I'm kind of cutting out.
If you counselor. Could,
are you on a headset or?
No, I'm on my phone.
Okay, cool. You're just kind of, you were cutting out.
Sorry.
A little bit. Oh, no, it's cool. Okay. I mean, you're better now.
Okay, perfect.
So September, you hit a rough patch.
Yeah. And then, you know, and obviously we have a 2-year-old and the sex life wasn't as great, obviously, and that was fine. But then it started to get worse, like I said, around September, and we started seeing a counselor in December, and things have been getting great. She's like, you know, our connection is there again, and everything's been great, but still, you know, we still haven't had sex in 4 months. But meanwhile, we kind of talk about it, and she's been masturbating and stuff a few times a month.
Okay.
And it's just rough because anytime I've been trying to initiate anything, it's just like, I kind of rather watch a movie and hang out on the couch or something.
That's what she says?
Not in the mood or, yeah.
Okay. So she's really and not, just, okay, keep going. Tell me more.
Oh, sorry. It just gets kind of rough. And I just thought it was odd that she's still masturbating a few times and still, but telling me that she doesn't have much desire or, you know, has a low libido.
Got it. Like okay. Okay, so this, you haven't had sex in 4 months, and about 7 months ago is when you hit the rough patch. And have you had, okay, and you have a 2-year-old, so there's a lot going on. And does she say, I mean, is there anything going on with her in the sense of, is she on any medication? Is she depressed?
No. I think what it boiled down to is we just kind of did lose our connection after the first year, and we just kind of were so focused on being parents. And
well, that
really,
happens.
Focusing on being partners and. So okay. I understand that, but then when she's telling me that we've been so much more connected the last few months, and she feels really good about us, and I'm just, you know, it's a hard subject to bring up because I feel like when I bring it up, she's like, oh, is that all you think about?
Or, so what's making her feel more connected to you if you're not having sex? Where is she feeling more connected? Because you're communicating more?
Yeah, our communication has been so much better, and one of her concerns was she wanted me to just be more present and helping out around the house. And she didn't want to feel like she was doing everything, you know, with hanging out, you know, by taking care of the kid and doing the dishes and all that. I've been like, I feel like I've been a super dad and super husband the last few months.
Okay.
And it feels good. Like I feel really good because I can tell she's feels really good and she's responding to it. But,
You know, so she's
telling me that she's really close to, you know, to everything. She's really close to having sex again, but that's just,
did something happen, like, in particular when you said you hit a rough patch? Was there something that happened in September?
That's a long story. No, really.
You just cut out again. But I just... You just cut out for a second. I'm just wondering if there was, like, something that happened that, like, someone lost trust or there was a financial... I mean, because sometimes when there's something major and you think you've resolved it, that can also impact, like, libido. I can get to her masturbating in a minute because I understand why that's confusing to you, but I'm just trying to understand what if there was something kind of major that happened in September, but you're kind of like, oh, yeah, we've worked through it, and maybe you haven't.
Yeah. There was something kind of major, but it was... I feel like that's going to take up the whole...
Did somebody cheat?
You know, how much time
did somebody, like, cheat? Okay, did somebody cheat, lie, steal...
Yeah, there was just some like an emotional
affair. Got it. So you had an emotional affair.
No.
She did.
Yes.
Okay. And you found out.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So, wow. All right. And then you've come back and you're like, I'm super dead. You're doing all these things. She's still not wanting sex, but she's masturbating. Okay. And you guys went to therapy about it. All right. So I feel like there's still something going on with her here. Yeah, because I understand that she's, because I was going to tell you, like, masturbation is healthy. Like, people should masturbate in relationships all the time. You should continue to masturbate. But it's funny, like, that she's the one who did this, you know, she had this emotional affair, and now she's kind of not wanting to have sex with you. And I'm not sure how you're feeling about that. Do you feel like you've rebuilt your trust in her?
Yeah, I feel like it's pretty solid, almost back to where it once was. So
okay, so... it's okay that you bring up the sex thing. Like, to me, like, if you haven't had sex in 4 months and then, and actually I would think that she'd be wanting to have more sex because she was the one who, you know, had this emotional affair, that she would be prioritizing that because your needs, you know, it's actually both of your needs to connect sexually, because if you don't, like, that wreaks havoc on the relationship. So I think that you're, like, a really good guy and you're, like, being, like, super dad and cleaning the house and doing all these things, and she's not taking care of you. And I don't just mean sexually.
Yeah,
I mean,
like
you're not feeling, like, appreciated. She's like, oh, I feel more connected because you're helping with stuff. But it's kind of like a BS answer that she's not, like, giving you what you need. And I think that you have to say, like, sex is important. And I don't know how she thinks she's getting closer if you're not even, you know, connecting at all. So either something else is still going on with her. She's not willing to compromise. I mean, having an emotional affair is kind of selfish, or maybe it was a signal of something else going on that you guys still haven't gotten to yet. But I think it's okay for you to ask for what you want and to let her know how you've been feeling and let her know that, you know, it is a requirement. So what can you do with her to help you guys feel connected again? Because it is a part of enhancing intimacy, is to have sex again. Even if you take sex off the table, but it's just like oral sex or you're cuddling, I don't know what, but if you guys are doing nothing, like, I feel for you.
Yeah. I mean, we, I've been trying to just say like, hey, let's just have a take a shower together and stuff like that. And she's been actually receptive to that, and that's been good. So, I mean, I guess it's just maybe it's just a slow process or something. But
yeah, but I don't want it to be too like 4 months. And I mean, as long as you only you know because you're in it. Are you seeing if certain things that just maybe you're helping around the house more and she feels better? But how are you feeling more connected? Like, what has she done to make you feel more connected to her? Like, what changes has she made? You're cleaning up around the house. What's she doing for you?
She, I mean, we have had such great nights together lately. You know, we've made a point to have a date night at least once a week.
That's important. Awesome.
They've actually been really fantastic. Like, really, really good. I just feel the connection. She's laughing and we're just really enjoying each other. So I know that she's really trying in that aspect and I could feel it, but it's just something about getting sexual. It's just, That's the tough part.
Okay. Well, maybe you guys got to try. I mean, have you talked about like, you know, your fantasies and what turned you on? I mean, if she's masturbating, obviously she's probably had some, you know, she has things that she thinks about, like you need to go buy some toys. You need a weekend away without the kid, without your kid. Like, do you guys, you know, you got to like move this along though. I think like it's, I'm glad she's making progress, but I just feel like you got to try something different. Maybe just saying, take a shower that isn't what turns her on. Like, I don't know, but if you guys, you know, I would try to find out some more information. Like, have that sex talk. Like, what would be really fun to try and start exploring some new things? Maybe she needs some kind of foreplay, warm-up, porn, toys. I don't know. I mean, you listen to the show. I talk about all this stuff about couples connecting, and sometimes it could be something outside of it. Like, you listen to the show together, or you go to a sex toy shop together, or you watch porn together. You, like, try something that's, like, so different and new for both of you, and it'll get both your libidos going again, especially hers. Don't be afraid of this.
I just need to suck it up and just
talk to her.
Have that conversation.
Yeah, dude, like do it now because life's too short to not have sex with your wife.
You're right. Absolutely.
Okay, good. So go do that. You got this. Do this.
I got this.
Yeah, you got this conversation. And let me tell you, it gets easier. The first sex conversation you have, or like, you know, even I'm sure it's not the first, but like the more you have these conversations that are like thoughtful and meaningful and specific and you get into these details, it'll get easier. And then your sex life will get better if she responds to it. And then you know that you're really trying, okay?
Okay,
Sean. I feel good about this.
Thank you, Emily.
You're welcome. Have a good night. Thanks for calling. Bye. I know, you guys. I know that communication is hard. I know that communication is a lubrication and all that stuff. And I'm always saying it, but like, I understand that it's like you'd rather like go to the dentist. You'd rather poke a needle in your eyes. Like, do I really have to have the sex talk? Yes, you do. And it might be clunky and you might laugh or you might cry and it might be really awkward, but there's no like perfect way to have it. It's okay. You just can have it. It's, I'm telling you, like the only way you can mess up is by not having the conversation. Okay. That's how you're messing up. Have the conversation. It'll get easier. Really. Just, you got to learn to express your needs and talk about sex. That's how you're going to have the sex that you want. Our next call is Tyler. He's 30 from Canada, and Tyler and his wife are enjoying a wonderful sex life now, but he's wondering how to keep it going once their kids get older. Hey, Tyler.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good. So you guys are having great sex now, but you're thinking about like what's going to happen in 10 years, or, you know, give me some background here.
Yeah, basically, like, we've been married for 10 years, and things have been awesome and just getting better. And so after one of our escapades a couple of weeks ago, I was thinking about how great it's going to be if we just keep continuing to learn new stuff. And that was exciting until I realized that my kids that go to bed at 7 won't always go to bed at 7. And so I started not panicking, but just trying to figure out how in the world that's going to look down the road, because we live in a smaller home. And so I'm like, do I need to build a bunker in the backyard?
Yeah, maybe. That's not a bad idea, actually. I think whatever you can do to keep your hot sex going, you should build a bunker. No. But I think also, I mean, I think this is great. Like, first of all, I love that you guys have been together for 10 years and you're like having great sex and just getting better. And even that you have kids. Like, that's great, because a lot of people, I'm getting calls and talking to them, like, they're not having any sex. So I think that when the kids get older, it might even be a little bit easier at times, because first of all, I don't think there's anything wrong with kids knowing that like parents need alone time. Like, we're going to have alone time. So I think that that's actually healthy. You might have some more longer weekends away if you have people who can watch the kids, but I think that you'll learn to, like, you know, they're going to have their lives. They're going to be in school. They're going to be at like sports practice or whatever. And you're going to just have to like keep it top of mind. Like, I love that you guys have prioritized your sex life. And so when the kids get older, you'll be like, okay, well, we've got Sunday afternoon. Maybe we have to arrange some of the times that we've got Sunday afternoon without the kids here, but you'll figure it out, because just know that it's just as important as figuring out how you're going to get them into schools and how you're going to like pay your mortgage and all that stuff. Like, your sex life is just as important. So I don't know what your kids will be like then. I don't know what they'll be doing, but you just have to know that like it has to be top of mind, and you'll figure it out.
Right, gotcha.
And then build a bunker, that because that would be really easy too. You can't hear them, they can't hear you.
Yeah, exactly. So I should have love shack in the backyard.
Exactly. So I just love that you guys are keep talking about it. Really, I think you'll figure it out. But I love that, like, it's okay for kids to know that, like, not that they have to hear you, maybe use a sound machine, turn the TV on or something, but
right.
that it's okay for kids to be like mommy and daddy neither time. And
right.
you'll do
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Yeah. So that makes sense. I guess that's the one thing, is just making sure that I have an answer when they're teenagers
yes.
and realize that the magic wand isn't just a dad's shaver in the bedroom.
Exactly. No, the toy thing, I know. You leave the TV on, and they'll probably be watching TV themselves or out with friends, but you will, you'll figure it out. The sound machines are
right
great.
On.
You can put more soundproofing in the house. Don't stop using the magic wand though.
Yeah, no.
Never, 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 never. I know it's the best, right? Do the rechargeable?
Yeah.
Do the rechargeable?
I don't have the rechargeable, just not yet.
Okay. Well, I think the rechargeable is a little quieter too. I'm just saying.
Oh.
And there's a lot of toys. There's a lot of toys that are a little quieter. Not that it's like so loud, but there's toys that like barely make any sound. So maybe you need to do some investing, you know, save for their college fund and save for a sex toy fund. It's actually really good for your relationship. Okay.
I'll be all over that.
Perfect. Okay. Thanks, Tyler. So glad you're listening.
You bet.
Canada. Talk to you soon.
You bet. Just
keep in touch.
Thanks so much.
Bye. Tyler, I love that they're at, first of all, I love this call. 10 years, sex is amazing. And he's just concerned, like, how are we going to keep having sex, you know, with the kids? I think, again, prioritizing your sex life is so important and has to be top of mind in your relationship. Always, like always, 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 just like going to the gym, you know, exercising, your spiritual life, you know, your family life. That's all things that you should prioritize, as well as your sex life. Okay, our next call is Ashley. She's 25 from Orange County, and she's trying to improve the state of her partner's sex life. And there's only one problem. She can't get her partner to communicate. Hi, Ashley.
Hi.
Hi, sweetie. Tell me what's going on. Give me some background here. He won't communicate.
Oh.
A man who won't communicate. It happens.
He just won't.
Okay, he won't. Tell me.
It's actually kind of funny. He just sort of shuts down, especially in like the department of like actually telling me like what he wants. I'll ask him like a direct question before, during, after, when we're brushing our teeth, kind of things like, what would you like to do more? Is there anything you desire? And he's just like, no, he doesn't say anything. He changes the subject. It's all kind of strange.
Are you having, how's your sex life?
It's okay.
Well, it sounds like there's stuff you need to communicate. Like, you're asking him, but it's because you want it, because the sex life is kind of leaving a lot to be desired for you.
Yeah, and I mean, I do, and it's actually really funny, because the last time I talked to him about, I mean, I have brought up the fact that I feel like we don't have enough sex,
mm-hmm.
a ton, and he kind of got to the point where he says, why you always bring this up all the time? And I finally got to a point where I said, well, you know, it's important and it's what I want and we need to work on this. He said something along the line of like, well, if it happens, it happens. And it's you know, it's all fun and it's good and I like it. But, you know, if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. And I just remember saying, well, it's not like pixie dust. It doesn't just like happen. We got to work at it.
Yeah, exactly. How long have you guys been together?
But, 6 years.
6 years you've been together. Okay. And, mm-hmm. okay. And so how often are you having sex?
I mean, when we were first going out, it was, you know, pretty hot and heavy.
It always is, by the way, the honeymoon phase.
Crazy. Yeah, it was never crazy. Nowadays, it's anywhere from once a month to maybe once every 2 months.
Okay, like, that's not enough.
Not,
like, okay, so I'm not going to put...
No, it's not.
I very, very rarely will put numbers and people are like, how many times a week is normal, right? Because people ask in weeks. I'm like, and I might say, I have said, once a week, if it works for both of you, is great. Once a month, not enough at all. Like, you might as well just be roommates. That's not okay. And then 2 months? Like, why? You're 25 years old. Like, what? You should be definitely having more sex with them and with a partner that wants to talk about it. And because you're like, you've so much to give, so much sex to have, so much to learn together, grow together. You should not be at this point where you're only having sex once a month to 2 months and he won't address it. Because there's compromise that needs to come in. There might be a reason why he's not having sex. I mean, what do you think?
I don't know. I think it's just, I wonder if it's our age difference, like if he just wasn't like raised in a way where they're like completely open about it, where
what's your age difference? What is the age
education,
difference?
17 years.
Oh, okay. So 17 years. So he's 42 and you're 25.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that probably does have something to do with it. That has a lot to do with it. So like for a lot of men, like after the age of 40, a lot of them like have a drop in testosterone. They don't want sex as often. Maybe he's always been like this. I don't really know. But has he been? Yeah. I mean, honey, this probably is the issue. And I'm disappointed that he doesn't know how to communicate about it more at 42.
Yeah. They're older and they know how to do things, but they don't.
No, well, here's the thing, honey. I can tell you they don't, unfortunately, when you turn a certain age. If you don't do the work on yourself, and by that I mean like learning what you need and what you want, how to communicate with a partner and how to share space with them and how to build a healthy relationship, you don't just automatically pick it up. Like, you don't just like, oh, I understand because I've lived more years on this earth. So if he's never learned those skills and he has no interest in learning them, it doesn't bode well for your relationship or where you're at right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so you really love him still? You love him.
I'm sorry, what?
You love him. You love him. You want to be with him. You want to...
Oh. Absolutely.
Okay. So I think you got to...
All other aspects of our relationship is perfect. You know, it's just... I'm just trying to break him out of the shell. I just feel like I'm a lot more open to talking about it and exploring new things and being adventurous. And he's
shut down to it. So, yeah, whatever...
Shut his ways.
Yeah, that's the truth, you know? Yeah, the older you get more set in your ways. But have you talked to him about it in a way? Because I know a lot of times we feel like, oh, I told him I needed more foreplay, or I told her that I wanted her to, like, give me more blowjobs or whatever. And like, we say it once or we say it twice and we think, like, why didn't they hear me? But it's really hard to learn a new behavior and a new, you know, and to break out a pattern. So I'm wondering if maybe your way of talking to him has to change or how in depth you've gotten with it.
Yeah, probably. Because I know that, I mean, especially when I originally sent you the email, it was after being completely frustrated and shut down. And I took a lot of time to reflect on it. And I figured out that I've gone about it in a negative way and I need to be more positive about it.
Right. Exactly.
Just because it hit him in a hot button issue and it made it so like he doesn't even want to deal with it because it's frustrating.
Okay.
And he feels like he's not making it work. And like,
absolutely.
I probably sound like I'm blaming him. And yeah. I'm really not trying to. I think I'm just really frustrated.
Right. No, that's super healthy. Okay. So Ashley, I'm so glad you brought that up because I think a lot of us do that when we're all so delicate around the area of sex and men's egos are so fragile. Like they hear one thing, like one time in their life that they do something wrong sexually and it's like forever that's who they are. So you might have triggered something in him, you know, from another girlfriend who said he didn't do stuff in bed. And not that you meant to, you're super frustrated. It's been a month and you haven't had sex, you know? So I think you're right. Mm-hmm. Changing your approach and coming at it with like, it's about your tone and it's timing and it's like how you say things and being more positive and like leading with how much you love him and how much you value your relationship and how you really want to make it work. And you could even say, you know what? I might not have really, I feel like I've brought up the sex thing and maybe I haven't done it in ways that were the most effective and maybe I hurt your feelings and I'm really sorry because I want you to know that I love you. I love having sex with you. I find you so attractive. I fantasize about you when we're not together. I mean, whatever it is to let him know that like you're coming at this from like a place of, you know, love and then just being like, let's figure this out together because I know that I want more sex than you do, you know, without blaming, but how could we compromise? Because for a lot of couples, they need to compromise, you know? And then like, if you open it up to that, you're like, well, what could we do? And if he's like, I don't want to talk about it anymore, you know, and he really won't budge on it, then we know. But like, and again, you might have to do this again because you might have had a lot of negative conversations you have to make up for. But you could also let him know in this conversation, even though you're being serious and positive, I mean, being positive and lighter, you have to also let him know that it's like very important that it's the glue of the relationship and that it actually matters to you. Like, and it should matter to you too that you're going to work on it. So like, you got to let him know that it's like, I know I brought this up and maybe I've done it wrong in the past, but this is like, what are we going to do about this? Because I feel like we need this to move forward and like let him know how important it is. So I think that changing your tactic could help. Definitely.
Yeah. I think that's
and then if
probably.
He hears you, because we do that. Like we get to the point of frustration and that's why couples fight and they yell because they get to the end of their rope and like, don't beat yourself up for it. You know, that's how you knew how to deal with it. Mm-hmm. But I think that's really mature that you've come to this place of like reflecting, realizing how you were saying it. And now it's trying to do it differently. That's all we can do is keep trying.
Yeah.
And you might have to have this conversation again and again, but like keep it like, and it's okay. It's never too much if it's not making progress.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like have it again tonight and like see what he says. And like maybe in a few days, but like, I feel like you can't settle for once a month. It's not mm-hmm. okay. So how does that sound, Ashley?
I'm sorry, what?
I said, how does that sound, Ashley? You think you can do this?
Oh, it sounds... Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think that's a prudent course of action. And yeah. I just need to keep working at it in a try not to get very frustrated kind of way.
Yeah, exactly. And you could even let him know. Here's the thing. Like, this is the thing about communication. The more honest and real and authentic you are, and let him know, like, God, I've been struggling with this because I feel like I get frustrated, but like, I don't know what, you know, I really want to make this work and I don't want to sound like I'm nagging you. I mean, you could say all of this to him and hopefully he will hear mm-hmm. you. And I think what you need to see from him is also him opening up around sex and vulnerability. And maybe you'll learn about why he shut down. I mean, you've been together 6 years. And so I think yeah. that there's a lot of stuff that, you know, maybe he really does want to tell you and he hasn't felt safe. But let's hope that this new tactic and this new way of talking to him will get him to open up as well.
Yeah, you know, and it's really funny that we've been together for 6 years and I don't think I've ever really asked him anything like that before.
Wow. Yeah, it's time. I think that's great. I think this will bring you guys closer together if he chooses to open up yeah, about it. Maybe no one's ever asked him either. Maybe he doesn't know what to do with it. So you sound like a really good listener and you're practical and a good communicator. And so I think that this could be the next level of your relationship if he's willing to accept it, if he's willing to go there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm totally ready to go.
Okay, good. You got nothing to lose here, Ashley. Nothing. And only great sex to gain. Okay, Ashley, thanks for calling. So good to talk to you.
Thanks for having me.
You're
welcome. Really, really awesome to talk to you.
So good to talk to you too, Ashley. Have a great night. You guys, I'm telling you, this communication theme, I've always said it, really. You guys, learn to talk. It's like there's no perfect way to do it. You just got like ripping a Band-Aid off. You're like, but I'm not sure what. Just talk about it. And we might get it wrong sometimes. That's okay. If we're present, we're focused, we're in the moment, we're paying attention to our partner, you're going to figure out your communication style. And we all have different styles. You just got to do it because waiting around for problems to solve themselves, unfortunately, doesn't happen. What happens is you start, next thing you know, it's 4 months, you're not having sex. So got to communicate. Okay, we have Matthew Joseph on the phone. He's 27 from California, and Matthew's looking for advice on how to navigate sex and dating with a mental illness. Hey, Matthew. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. I'm so happy to talk to you. Tell me a little bit about what's going on. Give me some background.
I was diagnosed with bipolar 2 when I was, 22? It's just been kind of hard navigating, figuring out how to have healthy relationships and how to have a healthy attitude towards sex mm-hmm. and finding people that I'm compatible with.
Right.
Because with bipolar, I'm more towards depressive side, but I definitely go towards the manic side
right.
at times.
Are you taking medication? Are you taking medication?
I am taking medication.
Great.
And I am seeing a therapist regularly.
Okay. So you're probably like your highs and your lows are kind of more regulated right now. So you're not, right? So in relationships, I mean, I could see them coming up, but how is that thwarting your ability right now? Tell me what's happening like in your relationships.
Well, I notice it does level me out to a certain extent, but there are still highs and lows.
Right.
And it's not perfect. It's an ongoing process of trying to work on myself. And I notice when I meet a significant other, when I'm kind of in one of those highs, everything's great. I'm really confident. I'm a lot more social. And things are great for, you know, a few months or something like that. And then I go into more depressive spell. And they're kind of like, whoa, can't
right.
handle this. This is not what I signed up for.
Right.
You know.
Okay, I understand that. So here's the thing. So are you getting into these depressive episodes for like weeks on end, or is it just like, hey, I need some time to myself because I'm feeling a little depressed? How intense is it?
I'd say weeks on end. And a lot of it is situational. If I'm keeping busy, then I stay pretty up. But if I like get into that downward spiral of just like laying around, not doing too much, not getting to the gym, watching a lot of Netflix, then I get
right.
into this pattern of just,
well, this
depression.
Is like, okay, right. No, I totally get this. And I think like a lot of people can relate to this who aren't even diagnosed with bipolar, that like we have ups, we have downs, days that are good, days that are bad, days we just want to stay in bed. And like sometimes when some weeks you go to the gym all the time, I totally get that. But you're saying that you're on medication right now and you're seeing a therapist. And are you taking your medication regularly? Because I just think that if you are being treated by somebody that you shouldn't be having, months or weeks on end where you're that severely depressed, or where it's really impacting your life away, because there are such great meds out there. So maybe you're not on the right medication right now. or you could play with it, and because it changes over time.
That's something I've been working on with my psychiatrist. We've been working on dosage, and there's been some great medications that I've been on that work really well, but the side effects are just so bad.
Right.
That I've gone off. Like Seroquel. Seroquel was a great medication for me, but the side effects just were not
right.
Not
were you, like,
fun.
Tired or like didn't know sex drive. Or...
Really tired. Lots of weight gain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that one wasn't that
right.
One,
it's a bummer, right? Because you're like, oh, I'm really happy, but I now I've gained a bunch of weight, or like I can't have an orgasm. Like it kind of sucks because you're like, I don't want to be depressed, but I know the medications are tough. But you got to keep, because also if it was worked for you, there's also going to be medications they could use that could counter those symptoms. So it sounds like, I mean, you're seeing a psychiatrist that you trust and that you feel good about, because usually they can work with the meds that you're taking and then give you something to kind of, you know, counterbalance the side effects. Like you said, you got diagnosed 5 years ago. And you're 27.
Yeah.
That said, it sounds like you're with someone and you're trying to work out. I mean, you're with a therapist. But when you're in a relationship with someone, if you're wondering, like, are you wondering if you should tell them right away? Like, I would, if I'm in a relationship with somebody, I get that we all have bad days, or we all have bad weeks, or things happen that bum us out, you know, that we get bummed. But I feel like I'm not sure, you know, what's happening with you with these relationships, if they're just like, oh, I'm out. Because if you really are just, like, disappearing for 3 weeks, like, I could get that. I get that would be disturbing. But like a normal depression, if you're just like, hey, I'm having a rough few days, they should be there to care for your heart and not freak out. But I'm just not sure exactly what's happening.
Like, I'm usually pretty open about it. And like, if I'm in a relationship with someone, I disclose my past and what's been going on with me.
Do you disclose it right away on like the first date, or you mean like after you're dating someone?
Oh, God, no, not
okay,
first,
good.
Not
okay,
first
just can tell you don't have to do
date.
That. Okay.
way too much.
Got
too
it.
But like if I'm getting serious with someone, then yeah.
Good. Okay. That's healthy. That sounds good. Okay. So then this is the thing that you're saying, they just can't handle it. Then you're not picking people who are emotionally evolved, I guess. If they can't, because relationships have ups and downs. I understand that having, you know, bipolar, but I just feel like it's manageable. Like there should be a way that you can, you know, manage it, and you could be with a partner who is able to deal with it. It sounds to me like you're not really... Maybe you take a break from dating right now and try to get your meds set, try to get your life set in a way that you feel like you're really ready to date until you feel like you have all this sorted out. Because if you feel like the meds are still kind of, you're still playing with them right now and you don't feel like you have the formula that works for you, then why don't you just take dating off the table and like not worry about it and just kind of get your life together when you know that you're in a healthy place with the right meds and then start dating? Like, what if you take that pressure off yourself?
That's probably a good idea. And I've been like, not seriously dating recently. I've been kind of more doing random Bumble dates.
Yeah.
Maybe I should just take it all off
the table. Just take it all off the table. I think that like you'll have this huge relief, because part of you feels like, I should be dating, I should be doing this. Like, you're 27. Like, right now, work on yourself, work on getting your mental health in check and your life in check. And then when you start dating again, you won't have the stress because you know that you've got everything else under control. So yeah, what a relief would that be if you don't have to be swiping at night? I've been doing Bumble too. It's exhausting. It's like a full-time job. I swear to God, if you took that off the table and you just worked on yourself right now and your friendships and your family and strengthening like your support network, I think that that's the right recipe for you right now.
Cool.
I feel better.
Yeah. I think that's a good plan. And I think that's something I've probably already known myself, but hearing it from someone else is like, yeah.
Good. I'm giving you permission to not date right now and to make you number one priority, to make your mental health the most important thing. How's that?
That is awesome.
Okay,
thank
good.
You so much,
You're
Emma.
So welcome, Matthew. See? God, more time on your hands. This is going to be great. Thank you for calling, Matthew. Keep in touch and let us know how it goes. But I think like you're going to feel so much lighter when you go back to dating. I know this is going to be the thing for you. I feel good. Thank you, Matthew. Thanks
for
listening.
I'll definitely keep listening and I'll keep in touch.
Okay, please do. Bye, Matthew. Have a good night.
Bye.
Thanks. Yeah, I do. You guys, I want you guys, first of all, I want you to call, like, email me with updates. I actually really want to know what's happening. And I think our listeners also, and I think it helps all of us see, like, what happened with Matthew? We all put a lot of pressure on ourselves. Like, we have to have the right job. We have to have the right partner. And we got to get our life together. And sometimes it's just like, life is hard. And when you let some things go, it just feels really good. It's like a relief. Like, you're not running out of time. There'll always be people to date. In fact, when we're in a really good headspace, and our life, that's like the best time to start dating. So I think like after a breakup, it's good to take time. If you're trying to work on yourself and, you know, mental health issues, or, you know, get a new job or whatever, like, it's okay to give yourself a break. We don't always have to be in a relationship and be seeking. I think the best times friends are actually when we aren't. And we know that we're ready to have it always be this constant thing in our minds that we have to be like paired up because society says we have to have a partner. It's just like, it's actually not a truth. It's actually not something that you should all be living by. See how that feels for you. All right. That is what we have time for. Thank you everyone for calling in. This is really fun. I love you all. Thank you for listening. And thank you for following me everywhere. Snapchat, Twitter, Instagram. It's all at sexwithemily and facebook.com/sexwithemily. I've got a great store on my site. Go shopping at the store. All the things I talk about are on there. All the great toys I love and lubes and all that fun stuff. Thanks everyone for listening. Was it good for you? Email me feedback@sexwithemily.com.